This is our devotional commentary for Luke chapter 20. I'm Pastor Doug Corlew. Welcome to the Abide Podcast, where we daily begin with the reading of God's Word. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gave you this authority." He answered them, "I will also ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him.'" The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly, and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able, in the presence of the people, to catch him in what he said, but marveling at his answer, they became silent. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." for they no longer dared to ask him any question. But he said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' David thus calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces, in the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." What gives you the right to take over the temple like this and teach without our permission? The question of the religious leaders at the start of Luke 20 is a question many people still have about Jesus. What gives him the right to tell me what to do? Or to claim he's the only way to eternal life? Jesus was under no obligation to answer a question that was designed to destroy him. So he replies with a question of his own. In asking their opinion about John, he put the chief priests and scribes on the horns of an awkward dilemma. They had been trying to trap Jesus, but now they themselves were trapped. Verses 1 through 8. So we can imagine how they felt when Jesus proceeded to tell a parable, the last one in Luke's gospel, about some wicked tenants who defied a gracious landlord. Listeners were surely making the connections. As these tenants abuse every messenger sent to them, then kill the beloved son, until the owner finally comes and destroys them. A crushing judgment awaits those who reject God's own son, who is the cornerstone of salvation for all who believe in him. Verses 9 through 18. As the tensions continue to rise, it was almost as if Jesus' opponents deliberately tried to fulfill the prophecy by planning his murder. Since Jewish leaders lacked the authority to carry out the death penalty, their strategy was to get him in trouble with the Roman government. So they asked him a volatile question, mixing politics and religion. He had put them on the horns of a dilemma. Now they returned the favor. But Jesus' response is perfect, acknowledging the authority of the state while refusing to bow at Caesar's throne. Verses 19 through 26. A resurrection riddle follows as Jesus is asked about a hypothetical, ridiculous situation involving a childless widow who had been married to seven brothers. Jesus, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Jesus' answer is that our relationships will be changed in the next life. Marriage is only a temporary institution, unnecessary when people cannot die and procreation is not needed. Instead, we will all be one family in heaven, with God as our loving Father. Even at the present moment, He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So He will be ours, and we will be His. 5 minutes or 5 millennia after we die. Verses 27 through 38. Jesus is pretty good at answering theology questions. Indeed, his answers were perfect. He never stumbled or misspoke. He never said too much or too little. He never contradicted the scriptures, but always brought them to life. Finally, with their questions exhausted, Jesus poses one of his own. A question we all must answer. Who is he, really? As the son of David, Jesus is yet David's Lord. Is he yours? Verses 39 through 44. Thanks for listening to the Abide Podcast. For more information about Summit Church of Alta, go to summitefc.com. And I'll meet you again next time as we abide, living daily in the Word.